Greetings. Hi, my name is Mark Levy, and I was a student of Ted Green. I studied with him in the 70s and when I was a teenager, and then again in the 90s. I taped every session, every lesson in the 90s. I studied with him for about three and a half years, somewhere between 91 and 94, 95, and I taped every lesson, and I'm more than happy to share them with you. Please realize that they're totally unedited. And clearly for non-commercial educational use only. And I hope you learn something from this great, great teacher and guitarist and person. And realize I'm just an enthusiastic student, so I probably ask a lot of dumb questions. But you see what a patient man he is with me. So anyway, enjoy and thank you.
How much of that stayed with me. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much I'm using on gigs. Some of it did, thank God. It's got to if you write that much.
Well, I look at it too, and sometimes I'll just take that modern chord progression, say, okay, I need to work on voicings or ideas and stuff, and I'll use it as reference. And, hell, I may retain, if I retain 1%, I'm doing great. But I got a feeling that, you know, I just got to keep driving it with exercises and stuff. The constant repetition of it gradually I assimilated. You understand what I'm saying, Ted?
I agree. If you gradually review, let's just call it review, all the stuff, some of it's going to stay, but my contention is if your time's limited to a couple hours an evening, you should only do a tiny bit of that in proportion, maybe an eighth of your time or something on that kind of a study, because what are you going to do with all that? So you stop people on the street and say, hey, check this one out.
Well, I got to realize something too, man. I don't think I'm a, you know, I'm basically a lover and a student of music. I mean, that's a big thing, you know, and not to understand that, it's not like, you know, I'm playing Carnegie Hall or going to hit, like, you know, in my bio when I go upstairs, they say, Mark Levy, long career as a concert guitarist, started at a young age. It's just, that's not how it's going to work. It's like what, you know, West was delivering milk for a long time, right? So
something like that.
Yeah,
it's a welder actually.
Okay,
it's just like a welder.
Yeah. So I gotta understand that, and I understand, you know, music of course. I mean, tunes, big thing. I love playing tunes. I also like to study. I love studying.
Well, you have the same thing I have, which is that student thing. So you'll see what you can do as far as balancing it. I just would sure love to see you be satisfied, and I thought, and I might be off base, that if you had a repertoire and could go out and get a gig, even if it's just background at first, for very little though, if that was the situation, then it would be very satisfying because you'd say, at least I'm playing repertoire, and now I have a place to use everything. Now I could be off base.
I enjoy that, and it's a goal, and I'm putting it together. But it's, I'm not going to be, how should I say? I don't know what to say, Ted. You know, will I be disappointed if I don't have it in a month? You know,
it's not. Let me ask you: is it at this stage, after reassessing your life, is it not a huge priority to go out and play? Which is fair. You have a right to be Mark.
I don't think it's necessarily, it's a huge priority to play, but it's not a huge priority to go out and play.
Then you should just study whatever grooves you the most at all times. I mean it. I just would not do anything but that.
And that includes tunes.
That would include tunes, I'm sure.
Okay, absolutely. Part of,
then there's no huge distinction anymore about
that. Is that a bummer? Does that disappoint you as a...
Well, look at me now. Here I am. I didn't go out and play a restaurant gig for 17 years as a solo guitarist. Uh-huh. 17 years, man. It's a long time to be not doing that.
Yeah.
Steady gig.
Right.
I couldn't believe it was that long when I look back. I said, it's probably 5 years. I said, now try 17. Mm-hmm. So how can I sit in judgment and say, well, Mark should go out and play in restaurants? Yeah, it's because you've done so much of it, Ted. I mean, you should do whatever makes you happy, because you have a total right to do that.
Right.
Music. I mean, you don't get to do it in every area of life.
And, I mean, I want to do it, but I mean, and I plan to. I am working on tunes. I plan on getting repertoire. I don't know. It seems like like with blues or something. If I feel like playing blues, I would play blues.
Well, I'm the same way. Last night, I only got a little time in for myself, maybe an hour or two. But about half of it was just deep boogie kind of blues that I just needed to do.
Yeah, and I don't know, you know, again, it changes too. I guess I'm a moving target, man.
Well, I don't mind as long as you're learning, you know.
Well, that's it, progress. That's the deal, is progress, and that's important. You know, and as I said, the high priority is to play music and play guitar and learn guitar. And I'm hoping, you know, I just continue doing it, and with, you know, you roll this all this stuff into one, and there might be a decent sound, you know, that I could enjoy. So
I'm happy if you're happy. And you had said that you weren't, but that was only a function of that you wanted more time. You're happy when you're playing.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I'm having a great time.
You know? So, say like yesterday, what did you play?
Yesterday, I went through mainly, I started again doing lots of blues. I've been playing lots of blues, and I'd like to talk about blues a little bit. That's actually in one of our items in this sheet work plan that I need to owe you a copy of.
No problem.
Yeah, but item number two is blues form, 8, 12, and 16 bar forms.
Yes.
I'd like to, it seems like I've been gravitating a lot towards that, but like yesterday, it was blues. And I went through some gospel tunes, which gospel, again, very big, especially on Sundays. Sunday morning, I have a cup of coffee, and I pull out that gospel book, and I have a grand time. And then I play through my set, you know.
So what do you do with the gospel book?
I read, start read it, and I have, you know, tunes.
Do you play any little things, or they're not in your hands?
Yeah.
There's a melody going on while this is happening. These are the changes to one of these tunes.
It's a melody too.
Oh, really? I missed it coming out.
Okay. See. I sort of embellish it.
That's good.
Gospel 3, which is which I gravitate towards a lot.
It's a cool feel, man.
There's one. It's a long, not long, dusty road or something. Oh,
Lonesome
man.
Lonesome Road?
What's that?
Yes. Lonesome Road? That's a good one.
Have you?
I play it.
Da, 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 da. You play it?
Yeah, well, maybe it's a different song now. The way you just sang it makes me think it might be slightly different.
It goes to that six.
Right at the beginning?
No, like in the middle of the melody.
Goes, look down, that lonesome road. It's got this kind of line.
That's it, I think. Different then.
Yeah. In three B minor. Yeah, it doesn't sound like the same song. How about Lucky Old Sun? You ever hear that? These are pop songs that have a gospel
tune. Flavor.
It goes,
I four minor?
It was.
We got him where I could really hear that.
Favorite song as a little kid when I was three. I used to wear out the record. That's the four minor. Sometimes flat seven. Sometimes with the six in the bass for the four minor. Any one of those bass notes is a choice.
Beautiful. When I jam and I go to that four minor, I'll go up in that voice and I'll use it.
All the normal minor six chord bass notes. Six, one, flat three, and five.
It's another thing I was thinking on the way, Ted, is I would like to get some more tunes from you, because sometimes I find I'm in my own little circle and I'm not breaking out of it. Like,
let's put this clearly on the table.
Okay.
This is roughly the melody. You should possibly, if your budget allows, buy a Frankie Lane record. He's an interesting singer anyway. He made the hit of this in the late 40s. That Lucky Old Son, I think Ray recorded it too. So I believe the melody goes. That's it. Does that twice. Then the bridge. Something rough in there. And then I don't know what it does, but usually I vary things on the second half of the record.
Okay.
Like I make a.
Da, da, da.
You can hear it right.
Yeah,
this kind of line.
So the what was that that you did? Did you supersede that with a four? Or was it
almost? This is a five suspended. Like a B flat.
Okay, flat two.
No, not quite. Flat two has a jazz.
Okay.
Deep, rich jazz color. This, I'm staying away from that ultra jazz for a moment. Trying to get the Americana, the Eric Copeland thing meets Ray. That's just B flat 11. Five chord in E flat, my favorite key. And then D flat.
That's
kind of Americana thing, And then a five. An inverted five. Correct voice leading to do things like that. Mm-hmm. It sounds acceptably nice.
Sounds correct to me.
That sounds like. Brian Wilson kinds of change. He put the fifth and the bass on those last two chords on the D flat. Might have about a B flat before going back to the one. So with the harmony, the chord changes would be one. 6 minor. Four minor
right there.
Then a 1-6-2-5. I'm using inversions that you don't have to. You could go. I just like inversions. 6-2-5. Then a 1-7 or a 5 minor 1-7, which gets you the 4. Back to the one, back to the six, and another four minor. So whatever you've done before, if you've done this, then that, or if you've
and a rest on, resting on the four minor is really sweet.
It's poignant, isn't it? It gets you, it's a heart pump.
It really is.
Then back to one, cadence phrase. For instance, contemporary cadence might use a pedal tone. Like a six major. Traditional 1-6-2-5. try 1, 3, 4, 5 sometimes as a direct sub. Sometimes things simple can be just
beautiful.
I mean, you don't need all the.
That's real moving with the fifths, parallel fifths, and it's what is the root? Is it going up fifths or something?
Here's what happens in a sequential sense. Mm-hmm. You've got. Like that the most that I've ever heard Handel. He's crazy about all those.
Love it. I love that stuff too. It's
the same chord progression. That's the 4 and the 5. So Jazzmaster, I have a little bass or what?
Yeah.
I can actually feel it in the 4. I'm thinking of buying it. I can't afford it, but it's expensive now. $700-$800
really?
For even this, refinished and all. If it were original, like $1,500.
Whoa.
It's bad.
I have a question to ask.
Okay, anyway, that's the structure of Lucky Old Son. That's
good.
Ask your question, and I'll come up with some other
titles. Well, it could be later. I it's a question concerning living below someone.
Go ahead and ask him that.
Can I stop the tape just for a second? Sure.
So yes,
I was explaining my day yesterday. We got into, like I said, I just got into a gospel, and then I would do my set, our set of tunes, which I have and I play. But most of the tough stuff is into the blues. At least it seems like I've been gravitating towards a lot of the blues stuff. Staying real simple, pretty much, of course.
It's good that you're expressing that, if that's what you feel. And sometimes that's all I want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
If you end the set at the end of the night with that, it's hard to imagine hearing anything from me to hear any other style afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't want to hear anything.
It's just a great... I love it because the form... There's something so simplistic but so expressive.
So true.
About it. What makes it so unique, man? How come,
I think we're born for it, man. That's God, man, or something. You know, where this country was a special country, a special chance to learn about autonomy and all the screw-ups we've done, but we've still done better than any other nation in some ways. We've provided more people with more of a chance and more hours of pleasure than in the old days, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
For all our frailties and supporting dictators in Chile and
right.
a terrible thing, we still had more people sit on a cruise ship because they wanted to and earn enough money to, et cetera,
right.
et cetera. Ted and Mark sit in a room, enjoy wood and metal, electrified, making beautiful round tones that our ancestors wouldn't even have dreamed existed.
Mm-hmm.
Mozart would have been stunned if he walked in and you went,
right.
What would he have said about that chord?
Mm-hmm.
Would he have looked at you like you're the all-time wizard, or would he have said, if you don't stop now, I'll pass out. Please, I cannot take this cacophony.
Mm-hmm.
See, apparently he hated certain things so much that it made him sick.
He wasn't, I don't think he was a great supporter of flutes, I think. Was it flutes or...
It's because they were out of tune in those days. I finally figured it out. This book you read, Mozart Speaks, man, it's fascinating. I'm inching my way through it. It is fascinating.
It is.
Oh my God. What a kid, what a guy. There's so many great books, Mark. I've discovered a new one that's a lot of fun. I must share it real fast to show you the title. You'll see it around. It's worth the read.
Really?
It's a fun thing.
Classical music.
Don't worry about the 50 and 1,000. Those are
Phil
just
Golding.
Numbers. He's a real good writer. Very entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
He's 70 years old now, so he knows how to write. Man, after all, he was a writer.
Mm-hmm.
He was Assistant Secretary of State for a lot of administrations.
Wow.
Too, so it's a lot of background.
Interesting, man. Those type of men interest me, too.
But he came to classical music real late. His wife said, okay, it's time to learn, for us to learn about music.
Mm-hmm, good.
Got him a tape machine, and he said, well, what are we going to listen to?
Mm-hmm.
Country, rap, Beatles, Gershwin. He said, no, they decided
let's go
for the serious.
Go for the big stuff.
Yeah, the biggie.
Speaking of which, what you're doing there, I want to talk about too.
No, I was unconscious, but now I can be conscious.
Yeah, because I notice, you know, I use when I improvise a lot of certain tools, basic tools like the blues, or in that case, like sort of like sequences or scale harmony. Is that what it's called?
This is semi-scale, where I'm flirting with two different scales. But if I stayed in a scale, it'd be almost the same. It'd be, that would be literally all diatonic to this key.
Mm-hmm. But how are you harmonizing it?
I just happen to choose a voicing that I love. Mm-hmm. It uses only notes of the A flat major scale.
Mm-hmm.
This is a particularly fetching one for my ears. I don't know how you feel about it.
Oh, it's great. Is it the voicing of what? The fit?
The intervals just seem to hang together well. You know how an easy way to remember visually? Because I see it more than I think about this one. You take second inversion major sevens.
Okay.
And play.
I really like that. I'd like to get that out of my hands.
Second inversion's the sweetest major sevens that I know of, and first inversions in some cases.
Because I find I've been trying to do stuff like let's say with D, let's say a D minor sound. Okay, so I'm going, wow, there's D.
Not G minor?
Is that
okay, the key of D minor, I see, not D minor chord.
Well, but I'm
some
hearing,
of them were G minor. Though.
But I was hearing that as, am I wrong in hearing that all under like a D minor sound? Let's say we're going.
You can use it, but you've passed through the secondary, not secondary, the other primary colors as well. You pass through the subdominant.
Okay.
The G minor.
I love it. There's a way to use it as part of a four sound.
It when you pass through one, just cruising around one.
Like a symmetry to it or something.
This would all still be one, but when you go, you've changed roots, you can hear Debussy changing roots when he does that. He's going from word.
Right, ooh, that's beautiful. Yeah.
It's just G minor.
Classic. That's great.
Yeah. You know what it is? What? It's Timpanelli 2, Mark. It's
really?
6, 2, 5. Instead of 1, 6, 2, 5.
6, 2, 5.
Imagine 1, 6, 2, 5.
Right.
And just chop off one and put it at the end. Now what do we have?
6, 2, 5, 1. But something's wrong with the bass.
No, nothing wrong.
All written in the bass?
All written in the bass.
5, you're just not 5 sus? Or?
No. Oh, well, sure. That's a given that we like that growing up in this country.
Okay.
Let's play 3 notes. Very much in Debussy's arsenal.
Yep.
That side, his white key side.
Mm-hmm.
Except we're an F instead of C, but diatonic major, he loves
right.
that. It's one of the shadings. That girl with the flaxen hair. Just full, I don't know if you've heard that piece, but just full of it.
But I, you know, like I'll find, I mean, I find myself trying to experiment that way with, if I hear D minor, well, you know, or like with A minor, let's say.
I buy it. Those are chord streams.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So how can I develop more of that?
Well, it depends on how thorough. Would you like to be real thorough? Or do you not have that much time? Or?
Well, I mean, I think you probably got an idea of where I'm at this time. But at the same time, it might be something like, this is what I do sometimes, Ted, unfortunately. I don't, you know, you probably won't think that this is a real well-rounded thing is, I might get into it where it's Thursday night or something, and I'm working on it. I go, oh, that's bitching, and I might end up spending a couple hours just on that.
That's how I live too.
And say, oh well,
that's how I live.
Could get full tonight. So,
if you want to be thorough with the stuff, you write down every possible vertical structure that exists in the scale. This will take you a whole day or more to investigate that. Because it's serious territory.
Right.
if you want to save time, you ask me since you're paying me, and I say, start with seventh chords. Let's forget the traditional names and look at a structure that is 1-3-5, but we may add one tone only, okay? Now, if you add one tone, what are the three main tones they add in a major key to the 1-3-5 to keep it in the major family?
2-4-6.
Well, let's not be hasty now.
Okay.
We have 1-3-5.
Okay.
Mark going from experience, not logic. Not logic. Don't look for the logic here. Says, gee, last time I thought about it, in the history of mankind, the 1-3-5, first of all, they started adding the major 7.
Right.
Then what else did they add later?
Major 9.
They added a 9. So far we have two tones. You can add a 7 or a 9. Mm-hmm. Anything else?
11.
Well, they didn't really add a lot of 11s, did they, Mark? Do you see a lot of chords with E and F from the C chord and the same chord?
Mm-hmm.
See, we're talking about a 1-3-5 in the major family. Sorry.
Okay, major chord quality.
Indeed.
1-3. So they added the 7th first, the 9th, and the 6th, the 13th.
You just said everything we need to know for now.
Okay.
Now, suppose they just did it all in the space of a week. So it was all one thing, but threefold. So one concept manifested in three ways. The concept was, hey, let's add something to the triad.
Right.
Threefold way was, hey, look what sounds good for now. 7, 9, and 6.
Mm-hmm.
6, 7, and 9.
Right.
So somebody said, well, let's just call them add chords. So we would now be calling the one with the 7 the C add 7, and the one with the 6 the C add 6.
Okay.
And the 9 would be the C add 9.
Gotcha. Triads
out of those three,
mm-hmm.
and you stop me if I lose you at any point. Out of those three, one of those names did stay for now. We are calling the one with the 9 the C add 9.
Right.
The one with the 7, we don't say C add 7.
Mm-hmm.
We say C major 7. It's just the way it worked out.
Mm-hmm.
The one with the 6, we often don't even say the word major. This
6.
Yeah, C6. Hey, man. Play C6. In the 40s, that's what they would say. Major 6 was an understood term, major. There wasn't any confusion with a dominant 6.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas we don't say major 7. Somebody says C7. You and I know that means the dominant.
Mm-hmm.
Easy way to remember that is the naked numbers from 7 on up. 7th chords, 9th chords, 11th chords, 13th, they're all in the dominant
family, right.
I like these days to order it, by the way, major family, dominant family, and minor over on the side.
Okay.
Because dominant is closer to major as a regular third, right?
Right.
Often. But yet it's close to minor, too, because you have flat 7s.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas minor is so different than major.
Good.
So, well, and since we have American music that's either in major keys or dominant keys, witness all the blues and rock, R&B, and then minor separate.
Mm-hmm.
It feels right that way. In case we're discussing it, you might keep that in mind in your own study. So if you sat down to play all the feasible, your question, my words have been engendered by you saying, how do I go about it, how do I do all that? And I said, well, do you want to be thorough? Because you like thoroughness.
Right.
You want to draw some boundaries, because I say, well, just come back with every voicing of every known chord that you can do in the scale. Just finding all those, Mark. Forget practicing and learning and making women happy on playing.
It's like our budget deficit. If you pile them up, how high is it? You know, right? Like Ronnie said.
What is it? Stretch the moon and back?
Yeah, okay.
It's probably true. He said future things, I think. So, to save time, we say, high in the mighty. It sounds like you're playing.
I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. One second.
Yeah.
If you start with added sevenths, which we'll call major seven chords, there may be I don't know. I'm going to say somewhere between 10 and 100 beautiful voicings of it, but not 1,000, and not 3 or something.
Mm-hmm.
So. It's a good starting place that can keep you out of trouble, off the streets, and away from dangerous situations. Second inversion in voicing group 2 is a good starter.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
Because it sounds good and works for the fingers. It's easy to see after you use the same root in the middle of the
right.
chord. It's just right in the middle, right?
That's very taraba. Manuel Taraba, you know what I mean? Like the Spanish guitar.
Definitely could be.
Yeah.
Let's have you try it. Mr. Levy will try it slowly and surely.
Let me understand this, because again, these techniques, which is great because I know about gap thirds, I know about, what do you call it, swapping the chords, swapping
voice switches.
These are techniques that, you know, again, I might not cover the whole thing, but if I know the technique...
I like the word might.
You know, if I know the technique, then I could get into it, you know what I mean? And I know how to create it on my own, which is groovy.
Mark Musso, Ohio, meets a fabulous woman who marries or starts his own computer company, making $18,000 a week, has lots of fun toys, security. And he says, see you later, Ted. Guy, and he knows what to practice for a while because he knows these concepts.
Yes.
I'm plugging into what you're saying.
Right.
So... we'd like to see you manifest this.
Okay. Right. Okay.
Show me how.
Key.
A flat.
A flat.
Hooked on it tonight.
Okay. Now we're saying we're using, you said second inversion?
Yes, voicing group two.
Voicing group two.
Which they used to call drop two at music school or something. Mm-hmm. Where you take close harmony and drop the second, the alto down an octave.
Oh, really? I don't think I've ever worked with voicing group two, have I?
That's mostly what you've done.
Have I?
Just being alive. That's what you played before when you said this D minor stuff. Remember the D minor stuff you just did? They were all voicing group two.
Okay.
What do you call that stuff?
I thought it was one. One's a real closed. Okay,
extremely
two.
Close. They look hard on guitar. They look right. Far apart on
this
guitar.
Two is right. Okay, A flat. Second inversion's up.
Now, what inversion is that?
That's third.
Thank you, sir.
Just.
How does one find assist? What's the chord? Okay, so what did you think I was doing when I went?
You're going up, just ascending diatonically.
Agreed.
So, but then harmonically, you'd be still working on the chord tones or the next, the whole thing?
You tell me. Diatonically. When
you were just streaming up. So it's just
stream is... You know how you can recognize stream?
Mm.
Very much so. The intervals are larger on time.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're playing all off of one chord. Whereas diatonic scale-wise...
Okay.
Or chord scales, uh-huh. Harmonized scales, mm-hmm. Or harmonized melody, mm-hmm. Or harmonized scales. That's stepwise motion on time. That's it.
Okay, so you're just going to be... We're going to be doing this, huh?
Do you see the roots being on string three? Yeah, I think you switched to another nice, pleasant chord. Do you see string three housing the root? And if not, what is it that you're seeing in lieu of that?
I see it now that I focus, that you pointed it out. Normally, I probably wouldn't even think of that.
What would you think to get to there? How'd you get that chord?
I would sort of think, I'd probably think down here.
No, I mean, how did you get that next chord already? Your hands went to it.
I just said move up, everything up to the next.
How'd
scale
you know where to go?
Because of the scale.
So you saw the visual like a flat major.
Right. Well, I just
or
said
F minor. Mm-hmm.
I said,
F minor.
No, I understood this as a
A flat.
A flat.
So you just saw the scale form.
I said, yeah, move everything up to the next step.
Just so you can know how it works functionally. Mm-hmm. The ear is in the. One of the miracles that makes you think there probably is a creator. The ear hears the top note of a fourth interval if there's no other context as the root.
play, say, a third above it, you're just completing the triad. You got a seven, you just got a major seven. Right? Mm-hmm. So as these move up, they create new roots. Mm-hmm. So you want to see the root in its lower fifth, and that's the same as nature's tone. Mm-hmm. So bright and
it
so
reminds
radiant.
Me of like on a what's that space movie with the black Darth Vader, those weapons.
Star Wars.
You know, those weapons that just cut. They're like,
oh, okay, that's how
through,
this.
That just cuts through it.
If you heard this amp at full volume with this guitar, it would scare you. Ooh. People haven't heard that sound in like. Ever made.
For the Jazz Master?
Yeah, because Jazz Master was using a lot of reverb in the old bass, mm-hmm. kind of on a slightly mellower setting.
It's got such a big body, a lot of wood.
Yeah, there's so much brightness in these pickups. Extraordinarily bright guitars. I mean, just, I wish I could show you, man. Maybe if I'm sure what now I can't.
No,
because
no,
one of the only downsides, I'm close to neighbors on mm-hmm. that building and that. It's mm-hmm. 10 feet between us,
right.
20 feet, but
right.
still, I can't crank it even
okay.
in the day.
No, I could hear it, I could visualize it.
I have a dream that someday they'll move out of here because mm-hmm. they'll get tired of having two huge bodied people in one apartment. And they'll get tired of other complaints because somebody will move in next door and complain.
All your tellies?
I'll go back to number nine and I'll be able to crank it again.
All your tellies have issues, just take the bridges off?
I do, or else I file the three-piece one. You can't
okay.
see it unless you get right next to it. Mm-hmm. I take metal off either the back or the front to intimate it.
Okay.
But you can do that.
Okay.
But you got to stay with the same gauge roughly.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Anyway,
so
one last word. If yes. you do find one of these at the right price and you want to have one, now's a good time because otherwise they're going out of sight.
Really?
They're going to join, not completely join the Strats. They'll never be that popular, but they're getting there slowly but surely. So 10 years from now, they could be $3,000 and $4,000. And it could be solo stuff because we never thought Strats would. Well, did you think Strats would hit this price, man?
Hey. My sister bought a Strat to take to Paris.
She plays guitar?
No, she's just like going to try and double her money type of thing. A horse trader. And I bought it for $950.
So it's a 70s.
Yeah, like at Norm's. Black, no whammy.
Hardtail?
Yeah, hardtail. And 75 or something like that. And I played it, you know, I went over to see her, she was standing in front of it, she had the guitar and I played for about an hour. Fucking great. A lot of fun.
Fender's a lot of fun.
The Strat's a lot of fun. Much different than the Tele.
Oh,
I still
yeah.
love the Tele. But the Strat's like light.
Chimey sound.
Yeah, you could just...
Yeah, if it's a hardtail one, it could be light. Some of them are extremely heavy, too.
Mm.
Most Strats are pretty heavy, but a hardtail one could definitely...
It felt really comfortable bending notes and just working by ear and the sound of the guitar singing. The Tele still, I feel comfortable with too, but it feels, Tele's a bigger, somehow bigger. You know? Anyway.
Part of what you're hearing that makes you like what I'm doing, Mark, is mm-hmm. my string gauge is so unbalanced that I think both the second and the first string are 13. Because mm-hmm. I put a 13 on the top because mm-hmm. I broke it, but I didn't change anything else and it had light. Little strings. So.
But I still love that. That sounds like it's great for intro material too.
Yeah, well, this kind of material is just some of my very favorite. So you just watch the root and the fifth, and you would move this up, and you would see the chords turn out minor sevens on certain degrees, half diminished chord on one of them. Is this understandable?
I think so. Can I go through?
Yeah, maybe we'll have Mark do one of them.
And basically, theoretic. I mean, or I'm just moving up the chord up the scale each. Each chord, if you think of it as four lines, is that correct? I'm not.
It is four lines
all diatonic,
yeah. As opposed to a chord string that goes up the chord. Chord string
right.
is different, and you recognize it in the sound by going the top notes.
So the next one be.
It is.
Would be. And the next one would be.
And which string is your focal point? That's good. Great. secondary focal point is its lower tone. Yeah, you seem to get this in tandem.
Okay.
And I'm saying it over and over. I just want, it's something that doesn't sink in for people unless I repeat it usually.
Oops.
That's right. No, you know, it will be dominant seven, oh, yeah, of course.
Right there.
Already coming down and going, such, yeah, a sweet sound. I don't know a sweeter chord scale than this one. I've used it for years. It's on the middle strings a lot.
Okay. Okay, I understand that.
And it just keeps going, you know?
Yeah. Let's see. I can map it out. I can figure that out.
When I start to do these ideas, I'll come up a scale and then I start skipping every other degree. Maybe then I go back to the one and skip every other degree there.
Mm-hmm.
Keep that. I'm,
yeah,
hearing 4-2, 4-3 rather. Anything with 4-2 or 4-3 eventually finding its way back to the one.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. Just knocks me out, man. Still, just the same as it's the same. Where the ear,
right?
There's something very satisfying about four.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that. So you will. Then you can create patterns off that because the, you know, and you're sort of like, how can I say? You're sort of providing. You have a melody, diatonic melody that is harmonized. I don't want to say not monotonous, but plain or functionally the same. Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
Not yet.
Pardon me?
I say not yet. We're trying.
Okay. we have a melody, but it's the harmony is, I don't, it's hard, I don't know if I know the right word, but it's sort of like a monotone.
It is monotone, monochromatic.
Monochromatic.
If you're in a scale, mm-hmm, any scale that you're playing.
Mm-hmm.
If this is our scale,
mm-hmm,
my current new favorite blues scale.
Which is that? That's cool. What?
7-9 scale.
And what now? What you're in?
A flat would be here. What do you think?
That's way cool.
I did it.
Fucking cool.
All right. That is monochromatic if I stay in that world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I can see. Yeah.
Try.
I could see Albert King like betting on some of those things, man.
I'm surprised it never showed up in the real world, but.
Well, okay, 1-3. I know.
Here's the way this thing works.
Okay. Right?
Let's put this in our vision. This top, mm-hmm, string thing, mm-hmm, works out an octave lower on strings 4 and 5.
Right.
That's going to be our focal point, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, right in that area, we're going to start below it with both thirds.
Okay,
now,
I gotcha.
We also use the flat 7 as an added tone. Now you've got the whole scale.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the 5 notes.
Yeah, that's cool. Okay, let me see if I can run it up, huh?
Slowly, though. Very slowly. Try to take 2 notes at a time. We'll see why. Well, I mean, you already did the first 5, but you add on more tone. That's fine.
Ah, I see.
Let's play as much as we have so far, Mark. You got to earn the right place to, so it stays in your mind.
Right.
So cumulatively. Cool. Now you can add 2 more tones.
Oops. Excuse me, I'm trying to get ahead of myself. You want to go up or would you transfer there?
Well, let's see now. When we hit here, I went to the first finger. Did you find you went there? Did you lean your hand back?
Mm-hmm.
Then I stayed in position by putting the third finger here.
Mm-hmm.
So it kept me in the original mm-hmm. fingering. So then the second finger and the fourth are right there. It is. This note doesn't always like to follow that. It mm-hmm. has to precede it more. Now this, I got ahead of myself with this note. We'll come back to that. And the last two notes are...
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
I'm glad you enjoy it.
So, and it could, that could be like a way funky one, right?
It's ultra. A way funky one.
Not too good on the four.
It'll surprise you. We're
really?
On the four. If somebody's playing.
Mm-hmm.
Although I prefer on the four, the smoother. I don't even want that other jazz note.
Yeah. Talk to me about the four. That seems to be sort of a guy on the blues that has been. I've had to treat with little kid gloves. I mean, I like substituting the minor sound, you know.
If somebody said you got to go to heaven, and play for the thing that the entity that made you, and the audition is labeled blues. Mm-hmm. They know where you've been in your life,
right?
So they'll let you play what you know a little bit, but especially he's going to be listening attentively for your particular way of handling the four chord.
Right.
Saying, okay, that's fine. I already know what I like. Creator's already going to either be happy or blast me out fast. These are too many things that is. I say, I love the 9 and 13.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody gets. First, I'll make my ears hungry for the 4 by not putting it in bar 2.
Right. Okay.
Then I'll make it. 24 bar blues, so we're super
okay.
hungry for the 4 by the time.
Yeah, I love, that's my groove right there. That's, I'm in that station wagon right now.
Okay, now we're hungry for the blues.
Okay. Okay.
Just give a little 4. We can't
right.
give it as much time as we
can. Right.
Is that acceptable to you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, just as an example, give me what...
No.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. That was a 9th chord and also an added 13 on the top. I often don't play this note. Like
okay,
this play.
Right.
There's a straight 9th chord.
Right, gotcha.
Here's adding 13.
Aha. Uh-huh.
It's like
that
round
song?
Night.
Yeah.
In a minor key.
Mm-hmm.
I try to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Duke, man. I hear mm-hmm. a sort of Mellington kind of sound.
Yep. With the 13.
Yeah, it's this 30s. Early 40s.
Okay. Yeah, because I find altered tones on the 4 is not quite happening.
Yeah, I agree.
For me, it's not happening.
You have special circumstances. Generally. The place to begin is with natural 9, natural 13,
mm-hmm.
sharp 11.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And regular 11 for a kind of pop sound, more 70s pop.
That's great, yeah. A sharp 11 on the 4?
Yeah. You wonder because it's the leading tone of the key.
Uh-huh.
We don't usually play this for blues, but when you hear.
Say, so you're doing 1-5 right there?
Yeah.
Okay, okay.
Well,
gotcha.
Could happen, but the other could have gone. Natural letter,
yeah.
Very natural to the ear.
Mm-hmm.
But so is the sharp letter.
Mm-hmm.
They're both pretty pitching, man, on the 4.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right, that is sweet.
Sharp letter. Natural letter. to fight with either of them.
No, no, I agree.
It's a third stacks in 12 if you're listening. They just keep stacking up.
Up augmented 11 cents.
Oh, no, that's the natural button.
Oh, okay.
Same E. It just happens that you can stack up 5, flat 7, 9, 11.
Okay.
That's the way chords are in our system.
Mm-hmm.
The tertiary. Yeah, I'm doing it with 4 notes at a time, but it's the same concept.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good
just
sound.
Just top the bottom off. Yeah, tone on top.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I noticed going like... I'm starting to see that more, meaning some of the restrictions I put on myself in the past are being lifted as I experiment more with my ear.
So which one, the sharp 11?
Or no, just, yeah.
The sharp 11 seemed to surprise you on 4.
Yeah, that did.
I don't mean the sound, but just the concept that anyone who lived in Encino might play it.
That did because... Well, maybe, am I using a sharp 11 there? I don't think I am, because, like, I'm not, I wasn't. It was a flat 9, sharp 5 type sound.
On 4?
That, I've tried that.
It's a single
drum. Yeah, I know. On 5 sounds way cool.
Extremely nice.
6 sounds way cool.
Very, very beautiful.
But on 4... No.
Not on 4. Yeah, altered dons on 4 are a little tough, to say the least. Yet if you went...
Yeah.
As long as you use something melodically, you can break all the rules.
Like a... How would you call that? Like a... Approach chord or...
Lower
appoggiatura. Yeah, appoggiatura.
Lower approach chord.
I love it.
By the way, there's a new box that I read about. Maybe you've read about it too. Earlier Ray, before the Atlantic. I forgot what it's called, but it's like 2 or 3 discs of pre-Atlantic, which I got a lot of those records, but it must be great to hear them all. It's like everything he did before Atlantic.
Wow.
I don't know if it's got the stuff he did in his bedroom as a little kid.
Mm-hmm. One other quick thing, I'm sorry to regress to 2 subjects, but I just remembered.
Okay.
Chord streams, I mean, we said, we talked about what we're going to do. I'm going to do is...
chord stream or chord scale?
Chord scale, we went over. Chord stream, you said, are just like that, except that you're using what chord...
They're not just like it, Mark.
Okay.
They happen to stay... They have in common a beautifying effect if you stay in a major scale.
Mm-hmm.
A chord type that's in a major scale. But they really are a separate concept, which is go up the tones of the chord.
Okay, very.
They have that in common. They're going up or down.
Okay.
But the concept's pretty different, because like this is a chord stream of just major sevens. When we do just the same quality, I tend not to call it chord stream. I'll say systematic inversion.
Okay. Right. Okay. I'm familiar with that.
Some of those in this voicing group, they do sound kind of like real pretty. It's as if we're taking the chord scale and going. Skipping every other degree for a while, and then adjacent degrees.
Okay.
Still pass plays. He's doing a chord string. He's taking 5 chords in a row that are essentially...
Mm-hmm.
It's something I think that Debussy was one of the first, if not the very first, to really put it on the map, this whole concept.
Mm-hmm.
And Wes's favorite pop song was something called Portrait of Jenny, which is a film also. It's all Debussy music. I may have told you this whole story already, but it's not surprising to me that Wes's biggest influence is Claude Debussy.
Beautiful.
I mean, it's hard to fathom at first. You can
the guy from Indy that gets into him, huh?
Yeah, because I don't think he knew who he even was. I don't think he even knew the name, but he took that concept of the chord stream. I mean, no, his chord style, not a single line stem.
Right.
His chord style, we're not talking about the rhythm of it and all that.
Right.
How cool it is with it. Just where he gets the top notes from. It's like chord streams.
Always harmonically in thirds. And
he loves, even in his lines, I must say, mm-hmm. he's adopted much of that. He's the most third interval guy I've ever heard on mm-hmm. any instrument. And I don't mean...
yeah.
I mean stacking thirds. Somehow it's not Wes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
When I hear...
Exactly. Real sweet.
I mean, that's his stuff, isn't it? In a way, I mean, part of what he
absolutely
does, he likes those stacks.
Mm, I like the stacks too.
Me too.
Mm-hmm. I try. I go off on that. I just say, okay, either in solo lines or what have you. I'm looking at it's all open, meaning. Just keep, go up another third, and it's doable. You know?
That's what doable.
And starting on any part of the chord. I mean, that's really the big thing of my playing lately, but like taking a, you know, regular B7 chord, if I happen to be on the fifth, I could, that to me
Which chord is this for?
For, let's say, B7.
B flat,
excuse me.
Once more. Third step.
So I mean, that to me is legal now.
That's a great sound.
As a kid, it wasn't legal.
You didn't like the sound?
No, I didn't know it existed, or I didn't think it was legal. I always sort of...
No, that's two separate things. Not knowing this is... Yeah. That's understandable. Didn't think it was legal doesn't sound like a mark. Maybe concept. Which part wasn't...
Well, I didn't play enough where I could hear it, where I could make it legal, let's put it that way.
It didn't sound attractive to you?
Yeah. Okay, or I never thought of that on that level. Saying, look, man, it's cool. You could play, you know, the 11th on this, and you could even linger on it. You know? Even, like, for a 5 in let's say, B-flat, you know, the F5.
Isn't that a 6? Wait, what key are we in now?
B-flat.
We're in B-flat or yeah. B-flat 7, bluesy?
Blues.
That's
B-flat.
A 1 chord.
Okay. 1 chord.
What are you going to do now? You're talking about 5 minor now, right?
Or a 7 sharp 5. I don't know how. Tell me how.
See, what you just stacked up harmonically on single lines ends up.
Oh, yes.
This line. If you would play these notes, root, play please. Root, fifth, minor third. You got to play them all together. And flat 7 and 9. You have just enough fingers.
Right.
Okay, play those again. Watch out. Your right hand has to skip only one string, the D string. You know how easy it is? You put the top 3 fingers as a trio on the top 3 strings.
Okay.
It's psychological.
Yeah.
Once you realize they can grip the top 3, they feel comfortable, they know what to do. Then you have to coagulate the thumb and first finger on the lower 2, which puts a natural spacing in. Now the left hand is not always
agreeable.
Happy to get the telegram that says it's time to play. Let's hear it. You'll work with it, huh?
Yeah.
I hear string 3.
Get this little baby. I think this nail's going to have to grow back a little bit.
It's more your left hand now. I hear it string 3 fighting, which is normal. See how it's going to kind of like. I couldn't play that chord to save my life. As you play that, though, please, one more time.
Yep.
That's a minor
yep.
Dorian kind of sound. As opposed to this, which is...
Right, I got it.
That's the arpeggio for that.
Right.
too, yeah.
Okay. Somehow, so that really that won't work. I guess it works on that and adjacent with the one. If I'm using that secondary minor, if I'm using like, if it's like,
in tandem with the one.
Yeah, like that.
Okay. That's a great sound.
It's beautiful sound.
That's Wes's sound. That's
I that play that a lot. Yeah. It is like, I'm
glad to see you doing that.
I'm working with that a lot. I try and do, again, you know, sequences, doing that between the, using that like companion thing. Like
a different sound. It has problems, but it's got a lot of different sounds.
So then, with a four, you can take that same sound and transpose it up a fourth.
Indeed.
Okay.
And any dominant. Every dominant Wes had is five minor, ready to go, of whatever chord he's on. Always. Unless it's an altered one, then he didn't bother.
Okay.
If it's unaltered, he hits this, that's the four, or the flat seven, or the two.
It's there.
He's ready, man. He gives you sharp 11, though. He seldom will give you the co minor. He makes a choice, one or the other. Because the co minor has this note and this. Not this. This just sounds like you're already on the other minor, if you should hear that. But this, there's definitely. But this is separate. You can mix them in, though, if you really want to sound slightly different than he sounded.
Yep.
It's not common for him to really
sound. So then when we get to the five.
The five chord in the key.
Yeah, let's have blues. B-flat, let's say.
B-flat. And you've come way down, so you're on bar 9.
Right, okay, we've done. Is that how that works?
Yeah.
Or.
So in the old blues you're on 5.
Oh, but I'm saying a lot of times what I'll do is I'll go like to flat 3. I'm trying to think, I try to alter, not going minor 3. So instead of like I'll be going.
You're in bar 1 now, you start from the top.
Right. Just real quick.
This is not a Wes sound, but we like it.
I know, but
voicings are Wes.
Okay, but I'm just talking about how I've been playing blues lately. Or see what I'm trying to get at?
Okay, if you wanted to sound authentic, then where you place this chord is. A bar earlier.
I should have placed a bar earlier, saying.
Maybe should is too strong. It's okay. Right here. If you'd like it to sound like Mr. Parker and Mr. Gillespie might have joined in the proceedings, then what you do is you say, 1, 2, 3,
right,
flat 3.
Right, I'm hep to that.
That's the common way. If you'd like it to sound the way it's sounding now, but want it to fit with traditional harmony more, let's see, like that. Usually it's just passing, so you want to live there. You're trying to live there for a bar. Absolutely, it works. I just needed to hear it again. Remind my ears that that's
what,
a valid sound.
So, like, what other substitutions into the five that I can work in something like, you know?